need something way more than viral. I need something way more than viral. Gotta be something way more than idol. Careful not to get too close, I might just go.
Oh, welcome back, Fire Tribe. It's been a minute. It's been a minute, everybody. It's been a minute. I hope everyone out there is doing well. We've been gone for, what has it been now? A month. Been a half?
Three. A month, at least.
A month. Yeah. About a month.
A month and a half.
We did. We ended our game week 38 episode, and that was the last you saw from us. You probably got a little scared. Fair enough. No, but some life things happened. We had some big plans to end our season with some review videos, some award videos. We're going to do some good stuff. But I became a father 4 weeks earlier than expected. So
you did.
Wife is good. My baby is good. Little boy, we're great. But that kind of changed the plan.
Little fireside miles.
A little fireside miles. So once he came, all three of us decided, let's just take a break. I know Dave had a vacation to the beach that he enjoyed. Phil had a wedding in Ireland, spent a week there. Then he went over to Spain for a little more time, so he had a nice vacation. So
absolutely.
We did some fun things.
We did stuff.
Some fun things. But we're excited to be back.
We're back, and we know you missed us.
Yeah. I mean, you could probably see we've upgraded a little bit. We're going into season two. Pretty serious about this thing. New mics, new stands. We got a new way to run the show. We're vibing right now. We're vibing right now. Yeah, yeah.
You are, Sean.
We got some big things coming, though, going into next season. Dave, I know you wanted to mention a few things that you've actually been working pretty hard on for the people out there.
A little bit. Yeah. So in addition to all the typical stuff we put out during the week with, the long episodes, all of our short stuff on the different forms of social media, we are going to have a Patreon this year. And so our idea for that is you are going to get a lot of additional content that you won't get for free just on all of the regular social media platforms. You might remember last year we would post our team that we were starting every week. So this year we are each going to do our own team. So you'll get three different versions of what we're thinking every week. You'll have to be in the Patreon to see ahead of time who we're starting for the week. We're also going to have some written content on there with some deeper, more data-driven analysis. And just some things, a smattering of other things that you won't get on social media. The other big perk of joining our Patreon is we are going to run our own Fireside Mini League this year.
Mini League!
And so, if you join the Patreon, you do get free entry into the Mini League. There is going to be a cash prize or a cash-related prize of some sort. We haven't decided what that's going to be.
That will be determined before the season starts. You will know
you will know what you're getting for being the best.
Yes, and you will love it.
And you will love it.
You'll want it back.
I hope so. The other thing is, if you do join the Patreon, like I said, you get in for free. You do need to leave us your email and a message on Patreon so that we can add you to the mini league.
Yep.
We also are going to raffle off some spots in the league as well. So if you follow us on social media, whether that's Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, what have you, do send us a direct message with your email as well, and you will go into the raffle to get into the league, and we'll have a limited number of free entries via that route as well.
Now, to be clear, and yes, I will shamelessly say this, to get into that raffle, you need to follow us on one of our socials. We have very few, if any, people that follow us on all of our socials, including Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and Twitter. But if you come to one of those, if you're following us somewhere, go somewhere else and follow us and do what Dave said. Send that message with the email. Get us in. Well, trying to get as many people in the door as possible.
Like, go somewhere else.
Get the hell out
no,
of
here. No, I'm just saying. I'm trying to get the people to spread the love to all the socials.
I feel you.
Yeah. No, that's great, Dave. And like you said, we don't have a exact list of what we're going to be doing on that Patreon yet. We have a lot of good ideas, like Dave said. Other things like buy wholesale picks. You know, we may be putting out our top five for each position, and that'll change every single week. You'll get that from
us. We'll also put out, I know one that we're going to do is our differential team of the week.
Differential team
of the
week.
We talk about that a lot on the show, so you'll get our favorite differential picks at each position every week.
Yep, you'll get our, well, yep, that's a good one. I mean, we're going to keep figuring out exactly what we're going to do. You're going to know that by the end of the year. We're really going to lock down, and we're going to add more things to it as we figure other things out that are really good. But we're really excited to offer a little more intense content, you know, stuff that's more number driven, stuff that we take a lot of time to think about ourselves, and we want to share it with you. So it's going to be good. It's going to be good.
Keep an eye out on social media. We'll be announcing the Patreon once it's active and once the league is ready to go. So just keep an eye out for all of that over the next couple of weeks.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right. And without any further ado, let's get our first episode going the summer.
Welcome back, Fire Tribe.
What is the topic of the day? Today, let me get one of those. Let me get some of that. Today, we're talking underachievers. So what that means is we each came to the table with an underachiever, someone that we felt just didn't hit the mark last year. We're going to talk about them. We're going to give you a little bit of insider knowledge on it. And we're going to decide if we think it happens again or if they turn a tide and overachieve or get back to the place where we think they should be. So,
and just to be clear on this, these are guys that we identified by comparing their actual FPL points to their XFPL. So obviously there's a lot of guys that underachieve every year, but these are three of our favorite, most interesting guys, and you're going to get our thoughts on them for next year.
That's a very good point, Dave. We didn't just pick these guys based on what we felt, you know, how they underachieved.
Not just all willy-nilly.
All of these guys did, they were under their XFPL mark, so statistically they did underachieve what they were supposed to do. Okay, who wants to start?
I think the dad has to.
The dad should start. Yeah, the one who's got the least amount of sleep this week. Let's get it going.
Yeah.
Yeah, for all you people who have babies out there, they aren't lying when they say it's tough. It's great. It's amazing, but it is it's been tough, but you know, I'm loving it. I'm loving it regardless. Good. All right, my underachiever. Now, some people are going to hear this and they're going to think to themselves, I guess he's an underachiever. Other people are going to say, yeah, absolutely. He was so frustrating last year. I probably gave away who it is already. It's Cole Palmer. Cole Palmer. And the reason I say that is because he finished third in points, 214. But he finished 23 points under his XFPL. So, you know, to me, that's clearly underachieving. That's pretty close, actually, 23 points. When we're talking offensive players who missed the mark, that's pretty close to the top of the list. So it's a significant number. Now to be clear, like I don't think he had a perfect season. Otherwise, like, you know, other than the XFPL, like I think there were other things he did wrong that are saying other than just that number that he underachieved. There were times I watched him and I was like, he just looks off. You know, he didn't look interested. So it was just, it was a very interesting season for him. But yeah, I mean, when you look at his stats, actually really good. He had 126 shots.
For a time.
Well, 126 shots, that was second. 51 shots on target, that was third. He got 15 goals. He had 88 attempted assists, third.
Pretty good.
Right? And then he had 10 assists, that was 11th. So 88 assists, attempted assists to 10 assists.
Yeah.
I think everyone may kind of see where I'm going with this.
I still am not.
Oh, you still don't know?
I don't get it.
No, perfect. So what it tells me is he was very productive at finishing. He finished 30% of his shots on target, which is pretty standard in the EPL, I think, the standard finishing percentage, which, again, shots on target to goals, is between 30 and 35%. So he's right in that standard range. Nothing to worry about there. Should he be hitting the target more? Probably. Probably he should. But he was at 40%. On hitting the target, so that's shots to shots on target. He hit at 40%. That puts him in the range of like Madueke, Welbeck, Cunha, Gakpo, solid players, not elite. The elite players like Salah, like they were in the 47 to 50 range, right? So, you know, what I'm saying is he had a good season. It wasn't great. But what do these stats scream? When you hear all the stats I gave you, what's your first thought at why maybe he underachieved? Any thoughts from the class?
Oh, I don't know, Sean.
think I agree with you that he underachieved. I think he underachieved because of how great the beginning of his season was. Because if he didn't actually start as 25
point
as he
game,
did,
he did have a 25 point game. It's fair.
It was like every other game he was returning. He was just consistently that guy for Chelsea. And he was a center focal point. We know that none of the other players really picked it up. You know, Enzo was good for a bit. Nico was good for a bit. But there was never a second consistent player. So he was the guy. And I think everyone had a lot of high hopes for him in the second half of the season, and then he kind of just shut down. So if you take, like, step back and look at Palmer all around, he's what? He's young, 22, maybe?
He's probably in that range, 22, yeah. 23, I would think.
I don't know when his birthday is. You're like, okay, it's a pretty good darn season for that kid. He's just going to get better, but you still feel like he underachieved because of how strong he started. But I don't know if that's where you were going.
No, I like that opinion, Dave. That's my thought. Do you have a thought of, when you hear those stats, what maybe happened?
I think Phil alluded to it. He didn't have anybody consistently around him. I mean, mm-hmm. he had quality options, but like Phil said, there wasn't a second guy that, you know, was kind of a burn from start to finish with him throughout the year. I mean, certainly didn't have a center forward in front of him.
That might be.
Was that it?
I get it? Both of those points, I think all that is true. I think that is the point that when I kind of dug in deeper, is what I found. His team let him down. That's basically what you guys were saying. His team let him down. His assist to conversion rate was 11%. That ranks, if you include every player in the EPL, 380th past season, 11%. That's horrendous.
His attempted assist to actual assist.
So 88 to
10.
10. So terrible, right? That's really bad. And you may say, oh, well, maybe it was due to some poor passes. No, is my response to that. Chelsea created 120 big chances. That was the second most in the Premier League, only behind Liverpool. 150 big chances. That's elite level creation, I think we would say. Issue is, they missed 83 of those big chances. That was the second most. They only scored 64 goals on the season. That means they converted 37 of 120 big chances, a conversion rate of 31%. For comparison,
is that bad?
For comparison, the other top teams in the EPL were between 40 and 50%.
So yes. So yes.
So that is bad. So you can, if you compare it to the top dog, Liverpool, Chelsea created 80% as many big chances, right? 120 to 150. But they only scored 74% as many goals as Liverpool did. So Liverpool missed more big chances than them, but they still converted at a higher rate. It wasn't good. It was inefficient. People weren't finishing. But Chelsea saw it coming, clearly. Not coming, but now, retroactively, I think they see what happened. They have now signed Liam Delap, and apparently João Pedro is coming into the mix. Yeah, you mentioned it. No forward. Nico Jackson started the season hot. 6 goals in a handful of games. Ended the season with a 28% shot on target to goal ratio. Compare that to Delap, 38%. Compare that to João Pedro, 50%. So you could tell that Nico Jackson, Chelsea's team, you know, all these stats to say they let Palmer down. I'm 100% convinced, though, like, and this is where I want you guys' opinion, like 100% convinced going into next season, Cole Palmer is going to benefit from these new guys on the team. I think if he had either one of them, not even both, if he had one of those two last season, Delap at a 38% finishing rate and João Pedro at 50%, he probably finishes second in FPL points. We're not even having the conversation. We're saying, oh, wow, Palmer had a great season. He just couldn't pass Salah because Salah went freak mode, right? Yeah, freak mode. That's all I can come up with. So, I mean, what do you guys think? Do you think this season it's going to be different?
So, I think, are you saying he was an underachiever because of teammates, not necessarily because of how he played?
Exactly.
Then, yeah, I think you have to stand on the sword that he's going to do better this season because he got more skilled players around him. But I think he has some individual stuff to work on, too.
Such
and
as?
Growth to do. I mean, I can't say I watched every single game, but during his bad stretch, what I did notice is that he was just more, I'm blanking on the word in English and Spanish, is apático.
Pathetic?
No. Just seems like more quiet. It's almost like he didn't want the ball.
It seemed like he was down. He was not happy.
And then when you're not happy and you're not doing well or getting the ball because your team's struggling, then you're dropping in really deep. So then you're far away from the danger area. So he just felt like he wasn't comfortable. And as a midfielder, I think that's one of obviously it's the toughest position to play because you have to do everything.
Yeah.
I think young midfielders can go through this kind of like period where they just need to learn how to read games better, know what their team needs, because if their team's better or plays better, they're going to do better too.
Yeah.
So I think he needs to like just be maybe his IQ.
I think mentally needs to grow too.
A bit in that sense.
I think Chelsea's grow as well. A fairly young team overall too. I mean, Maresca talked about that a lot.
They just got two 23-year-old forwards, so yeah, they ain't getting any older.
Their back line was young. So Maresca alluded to that. I think we said a number of times throughout the season that we think it's more of just like a Chelsea overall thing that kind of dragged them all down a little bit at times. I'm back in on him. Also, game weeks 1 to 26, so that's like the first two-thirds of the season, he was actually overperforming his XFPL.
It was that streak of like 9 in a row where he had
just an awful finish.
But again, go look at the assists in those games, mm-hmm. the attempted assists. Mm-hmm. Like, give him a teammate who finishes 15% of those. Again, the conversation, we're not even having it, I don't think.
Yeah. No, I would be pretty comfortable. I would assume he's going to be pretty expensive, but
of course.
I would be back in on him especially with the better options at center forward.
Yeah, I don't think FPL is going to take into any account how we feel about the fact that they're going to look at the fact that he was third and they're going to say, yeah, he's going to be expensive. Probably. I don't care that you guys were frustrated watching
him. I'm pretty sure they're going to watch this video and be like, oh,
they need us.
I also think at the end of the day, a young center midfield on a team that kind of didn't end up bringing it together throughout the full season.
Yeah,
25 goal contributions.
Yeah,
those are insane numbers for any midfielder.
It just felt bad.
Yeah, exactly.
I think third of the season went.
I think there's a good chance he finishes first in points next year. The fact that if they play that 3-2-2-3 with Dalot at the top and then João Pedro and Nico Jackson on your two wings, I mean that's not an attack to trifle with. That could be very, very good. So I think there's a good opportunity. I mean, he finished third. I'm not making a groundbreaking assumption that he could finish first. It's two spots in Salah. He's not going to have that season again. It's not going to happen. So it's not going to happen. There's just no way. Okay, but yeah, I think that's my consensus on Cole Palmer. He underachieved. Don't get frustrated with him. Now that they have two forwards, Chelsea clearly saw the problem. They're trying to address it. I think it's going to be really good for him. So that's my underachiever on the year. Now, let's go. Man, you know, I don't know which one you get to go next. Dave, you know what, Dave? You go next, Dave.
My guy is your favorite player.
My favorite player, Florian Wirtz?
Being sarcastic.
Oh. I know who it is. Good old Semenyo.
Antoine Semenyo.
Yeah, the biggest letdown of my life.
The greatest non-FPL.
I've known Sean for a long time, so I know that statement isn't true.
Yeah.
So we talked about, lots of people talked about Semenyo for his great underlying numbers, but lack of actual production for a long time throughout the season. Just to kind of recap his season, he had 11 goals on 15 expected goals, which is a pretty big underachievement.
Not good.
$165 real points on 192 XFPL. So another pretty big underachievement. We know that he is really good at getting into good positions and generating chances. I mean, he was third in expected goals amongst midfielders. He was second in shots, fourth in big chances. He had 20 big chances.
He's right there with Palmer and a lot of those.
And it's Salah and Mbeumo, him and Palmer are basically the top four in all these categories.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had 126 shots, only 32% of them were on target. So clearly that's an area. But my two questions are, one, like, I'm always going to lean towards the guy with the good, I'll call it process, the guy that gets into good positions and hope that the finishing comes around. So my two questions for myself and everyone is, one, how confident are we that he generates the same sort of volume? And two, is he going to be a better finisher? I think we can answer one of those questions much easier than the other. And it's the first one. Is he going to generate that many chances again?
I think no.
All right. Well, I'm going to tell you why I disagree.
I mean, okay. He lost Kirkes, and I don't know if Bournemouth is as good as they were last year or this year.
Well, so. Bournemouth did lose Kirkes and Dean Huijsen and Zabarnyi.
Dean Huijsen, I forgot about. Yeah.
But so he is their key player up front.
Sure.
The things he is good at, you know, he's great as a ball carrier with the ball at his feet. He is very skilled at getting into attacking positions in the box, lots of speed and power, and he works hard when they're out of possession. All of that fits into how Iriola likes to play. Bournemouth presses super high. They're very aggressive. They run a lot. I think they were number one in the league for distance covered as a team.
Wow.
They also counterattack very quickly on changes of possession, which again fits how Semenyu wants to play. Opta's advanced stats bared that out too. They were, I believe, either first or second in rate of attack on a change of possession this past season. So it all fits into how they want to play. They were also, you know, they had the third highest expected goals for team-wise last year in the Premier League.
Yeah, they were only high-powered offense.
Only half a goal behind City on the season.
Yeah, they had a lot of good players up there.
I think, you know, Iriola's been there for, what, like a season and a half, season and two-thirds now. I think they haven't lost anybody up front. I think they are going to be even more comfortable in his system.
Full season of Evan Nielsen.
Full season of Evan Nielsen, because he missed a lot of time last year. Mm-hmm. So I don't see any reason for them to regress a whole lot attacking-wise. Maybe they're not third in expected goals again. But I don't see them, you know, getting that much worse, and Semenyu is going to be a vital part of that. My bigger question is, can he improve his finishing? And I don't really have a good answer for that.
I do.
Phil's got the answer.
I just don't think he can do much worse in terms of finishing than he did this year for how good of a player is.
That was so part of my thinking.
If his price is still low, because obviously he underperformed this year, I think he is potentially an initial lock of a player because his numbers are going to be there. And if he actually just tweaks the finishing a tiny bit, and I saw firsthand with Vinicius when he couldn't score a single goal, and then he had a few seasons in the 20s, he's going to be a great asset.
Did you say a potential lock?
I'm saying he could be a potential lock if his price point is fair.
Would you consider that Fireside certified?
Fireside certified.
That's Fireside certified. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Playing with our new stream deck.
Phil gets
like
the first
that?
Sound effect.
I get the
Phil,
first.
Oh no, that was a video. That was like
Fireside
a
Fireside certified.
That
by
was a
Fireside
animation
Phil.
Too. That's Fireside certified.
Lock that in.
Semenyo's gonna be better at finishing
anyway,
next year.
Hop along the Fireside Phil journey. We're gonna win this year.
Let's not forget that. He's really only played two full seasons in the Premier League, and 2 years ago he wasn't a full-time starter. He has 20 goals in 81 games for Bournemouth. He was at Bristol City for 4 seasons in the Champions League, or the Championship. Excuse me. He had 16 goals in 112 games. So that's very, very macro of me, but there has been some improvement.
Super macro, I believe.
He only needs, like, my verdict for next season is I'm all the way back in. Because he's my guy and, you know, he fits my own process. He only needs, as Phil alluded to, a very slight improvement in finishing, and that's going to vault him into the upper echelon of FPL midfielders. Remember, he finished seventh in scoring among midfielders this past year, even despite his finishing struggles. I expect Bournemouth to be a good attacking team again. Their squad's intact up front, like I said. Full season of Evan Nielsen. I am back in on him. Hopefully his price, you know, lands somewhere around the $6 million mark. But, you know, like Phil said, he probably can't be much worse finishing-wise. So that little improvement, you know, I expect the process to be the same for him or at least similar. So I'm back in on Semenyu.
Is that a Fireside certified from Dave?
No.
No, no Sean doesn't. No. Sean doesn't like me.
Here, you get it wrong. Wrong! Nice. No, I'm just kidding. I get the logic. The logic is absolutely there. It's like, how can you do worse? He did so bad at finishing, but he's such an electric player.
It's a good word for him.
I don't know. For me, like, I think he could come back to the mean. I don't see him going over like any XFPL. Like, I don't foresee him going over the number. That's Maybe he can come back to, like, the number.
That's fine. Because he was fourth in XFPL among midfielders.
Yeah. Fine by me. I'm probably going to continue.
Take him for 5 million.
I mean, I'll say right now, I'm not going to have him in my first couple game weeks. I don't want to take that chance yet. Will I have him? Will you be right? And I'll go get him? Yeah, of course I will. I just, can a guy that missed that many just like turn it around in a year? Because like it didn't feel like it was lack of confidence. He was confident. Yeah, like Nico Jackson felt like lack of confidence. Yeah, right.
I would agree.
Semenyo didn't feel like lack of confidence. Just felt like he literally can't hit the target. And I know that
happens.
Yeah, but I'm saying, does it change if he's just not good at it versus he just had low confidence? Is it going to change? I think Semenyo is a fantastic player. Absolutely. I'm probably out on it.
Doesn't sound like it, Sean.
No, I think he's really good. I just think he can't finish, and I don't see that changing.
Just for reference, last year, the season before last, he had 8 goals on 6.2 expected goals. So, you know, it's not like he's as stiff in front of goal. But anyway, I understand your mindset.
All right, so Dave's underachiever, Semenyo, and you think he's going to bounce back next year. So we got 2 bounce backs so far. It's a lot of pressure on you, Phil. You're going to give us a bounce back? You're going to give us someone who you think is staying down?
I'm going to give you guys someone I think is going to stay down unless he gets transferred.
Nice. Look, mixing it up. Look at us. We're really good at this, honestly. We didn't even talk before this.
I'm interested in this, Phil.
My underachiever is Mr. Eberiche Eze himself.
Eberiche Eze.
Everyone knows. Dave loves him. He was high on him for most of the season. At the end of the season, you were spot on. He got 6 goals in the last 8 games.
It took like 6 months for me to look smart, but yeah.
Took him 6 months, but...
You have a theme, Dave, by the way.
So I'll go quick through this one because I think it is going to be very dependent on if he transfers out or not from Crystal Palace. Just watching him, he feels like he should be... Well, he is a centerpiece of Crystal Palace's attack.
Yes.
But that didn't translate into FPL.
No.
He was on the ball way too much to not get assists or goals or whatever for 30 games of the year. When you see him at that 7 million price tag, and I think he went up at the end a bit, but when you compare him to someone like Mbeumo, they're in that 7 million range, it's a pretty big drop off as Eze's point compared to Mbeumo. It's almost like just a little over half. So just comparing two players in that similar level, pretty poor look for Eze. He ended up with 15 goal contributions on 19 expected.
Oof.
And that is including 6 in the last 8 games. So imagine what he did for the other 30.
Mm-hmm.
He was 24th in point totals, way under his XFPL. I think it was 13 under. And I think the thing that was key to me is that he was not even in the top 30 of successful passes in the final third.
And he wasn't in the top 30?
He wasn't in the top 30.
Is that of all... Is that just...
No, of
all
everyone.
So, like, including... Like, every position. Now, that's not just midfielders,
that's
right?
That's not midfield. That's everyone. So,
he I would say midfield would be worse if it was
pretty
just
sure, and I can spot check myself. He only had, like, 300 and some successful passes in the final third.
Yeah.
And for someone who was on the ball that much, who took on so much of the kind of the... center attack of Crystal Palace, I just feel like he wasn't involved in the key areas. And even looking at attempted assists, I think he only had like 58, 29 shots on target. So again, it's just someone who being the focal point of a team that actually had a really good stretch. Obviously, they won.
They were in it for a while.
Cup.
They could have competition
in the Champions League. Like, they were a good team.
Halfway through the season, yeah.
It felt like other players ended up getting into that danger zone. I mean, we're talking about Munoz. Who kind of was a star
Crystal Palace. Let him down a little bit until the end. He did
Mateta
well.
Mateta had a very slow start to the season.
So I think that probably didn't help him. But at the end, to your point, he was good in the end.
I think he was an underachiever for me just because he was on the ball so much and it felt like he could consistently produce, but he never did. And he didn't even have the background numbers to back him up either in terms of like those big chances. Final passes, attempted assist. So for next year, and I don't know what you guys think, I just think if he stays on Crystal Palace, I'm probably not going to even consider him. I feel like that team's going to have a down year. But if he goes to a team like Arsenal, who I know is interested in him, I think he could potentially have a really good season because I think he's a baller. He's freaking good.
Agreed.
I think, I mean, he's basically a Semenyo twin.
To your point, Phil, through game week 30, he only had 2 goals on 7.2 expected goals. So it was the numbers don't look great at the end when you compare actual versus expected. It was worse for the vast majority of the season. I don't know how I feel about him going. Like, let's say he ends up going to Arsenal. Obviously, it's a much better team around him. I don't know who they're going to take out of their starting 11 to make room for him. But I would like it from an FPL perspective, not a real life perspective. It would be very interesting to me if he went there.
Yeah, I mean, I think for his sake, he probably needs to. Crystal Palace, the end of the season in 12th, they didn't look very good to end the season, and they have yet to pick anyone up. They still have Mateta. They still have Munoz. Chris Richards, who's nothing to write home about, but he's still there. Ismail Assar, who's okay, or he was okay last season. So, I think if he comes back, Crystal Palace is probably going to finish in that same area, I would think. I don't see them doing better than that. I probably don't see them doing worse than that. So it feels like it'll be a similar season, unless, to your point, Phil, unless they pick someone up or he makes a move. I think he's basically Semenyo Light to me. Like, they were both doing the same thing all season, just always on the ball, always dangerous, never, doing what needed to be done, it felt like. So I kind of lumped those two together, if I'm honest. I do think Semenyo's better, so I would say Semenyo probably has a better chance.
Oh, I think Eze's better.
I think Semenyo's better.
I would not have guessed you would say that, Sean.
I think so. I mean, maybe it's a team thing. I don't know. Maybe it's just Bournemouth was a better team, so he looked better. Just my opinion. But
I actually Eze barely broke the top 100 of all players in passes in the final third.
Yeah, so you
which is
so
crazy.
So I say that Semenyo's better. And then you say that crazy stat after saying that I'm crazy for saying Semenyo's better.
You can recognize the quality of a player, beyond.
And that's why
beyond
the
FPL stats.
I absolutely
can't.
No,
and that's the point of him being an underachiever is that he's such a quality player, and it felt like he had such good moments, but it never translated into FPL, which is what we care about.
Exactly.
Not EPL, he probably helped the team a crap ton.
Yeah. I mean, we're not we don't care about real life here.
Yeah.
Exactly. We don't care about
FPL.
Real life.
You can go to hell if you suck at FPL.
So,
AKA Raya.
So if he goes to Arsenal, let's say, theoretically, Phil, you're in?
I would be in big time.
Let's see if he stays at Palace.
He wouldn't be game week one choice for sure.
Okay. Fair enough.
So he's out. You know what? I agree with that. Yeah, if he goes to Arsenal, I like that. I think, especially with Havertz coming back and Saka back healthy, if you put him on a team like that, I think he's going to succeed.
Saka right as a left.
Yeah, that'd be a
center forward would even be
probably
Mino,
still
going to
rock Havertz unless they get somebody. What's that? Gyorkis? Say his name. He's still
they might buy him. Apparently,
he's out there in the world still.
I think they're more interested in Benjamin Sesko.
Yeah,
at the moment apparently.
I'm surprised by that.
They're going to buy somebody.
Yeah.
They're not going into the same center forward group.
That's because they have a lot of money. Messing with the board, it's fine.
Who let him in here?
Yeah. Listen,
one episode out and I'm done.
Hey, I mean the sounds. I put him on. I got to mess with
him.
Just
kidding, I'm back.
There's a door over there too.
Yeah.
All right, that was good. That was good. Underachievers. Next episode, tune in. Later in the week, we're gonna drop our
Quick. I mean, the three underachievers.
Cole Palmer for me. He's gonna be a stud next year. He's gonna overachieve.
Semenyo, I'm back in. Sean's not. He's wrong. I'm right.
Eze, depending on if he gets signed to another team,
is
underachiever if he stays at Palace. Well, no, he's an underachiever this year. For next year, if he signs with a new team, he's gonna kill it.
Okay, that's not... If he signs with a new team. That was all you said.
I'm back.
See, you should have let me take us out.
I blame Sean. He interrupted you.
Yeah,
he did. All right, no. We will, like I said, we'll be back later in the week. Tune in. We're going to do our overachievers. Same concept. We'll be covering some transfer news, some just basic news in the EPL. You know, if you're watching us on YouTube, I got to get back in the rhythm of this. If you're watching us on YouTube, make sure to like, subscribe, and comment. We really appreciate it. It really helps us out. Find us anywhere you find podcasts. And, you know, check us out on Instagram. Check us out on X down here. Boop, 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 boop. Boop, boop, boop. Check us out. Twitter. And we'll be back next week. So with that,
see ya.
See ya.
Bye.